effective, and this is the fourth one. And this is what the commandment is for today. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. So we all kind of have a basic understanding of that, but we're going to take it to a whole other level. And in today's talk, too, this is sort of, the last 3 weeks I've been getting people telling me it's been a little bit too dense, so this will be much lighter. Easier to understand and implement. But first of all, it's important to understand that the first four commandments has to do with being in a right relationship with God. And the last six commandments have to do with being in a right relationship with each other. Do you realize that? Okay, so the first four is how we interact with God, and the last six are how we interact with each other, which is in keeping with the idea that if we are in right relationship with God, we will, as a natural consequence, be in right relationship with each other.
All right. Now, sometimes that word consequence is looked at
as something negative, but it means a phenomenon that follows and is caused by some
previous phenomenon.
Right. So if you are in right relationship with God, then when we interact with each other, we're automatically going to be in right relationship
with each other. All right. And if you find yourself in conflict with someone in your life, it usually potentially is an indication that you need to tighten up your relationship with God. You know, first of all, we said, well, I need to tighten up my relationship with this person. But if you tighten up your inner relationship first with your inner spirit, then when you go to that person, all will work out much easier. All right. So the fourth commandment is the last in describing right action towards God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the simplest way to approach the fourth commandment is to understand the significance of the word Sabbath. Now, according to Webster's dictionary, Sabbath is a time of rest or repose or intermission of effort. All right? You know, we've all basically thought of a Sunday as the Sabbath. But what we're going to really get into is Sabbath is any moment that you choose to be still. Okay, so the Sabbath is the time to take a pause from labor, struggle of work, or any kind. It's a time to rest for the purpose of gathering strength and energy to prepare yourself to step boldly into whatever the next step of action is. All right. Now, in nature, you know, we know that there's animals who hibernate in nature. That actually in Alaska, there are little frogs and things that actually in the winter they freeze solid. And then in spring, they thaw out and go about their business. Right? But during that time, they're sort of in a pit of rest. So we know that in nature, there's hibernation and dormancy that allows for natural regeneration and preparation for a burst of new activity. And in the field of athletics and fitness, rest is considered part of the workout. Remember, in my days were coming up, there were those of us who worked out 6 and 7 days in a row, nonstop, because back then, more was better. But then the new technology came along and says less is better, right? So rest and rest and the fitness is very important. It's also understood that in the physical body must be given time to heal and restore itself, right? But the same thing in the whole mental realm of the mind. There's times that you let your mind just rest, all right, and do nothing, as according to what that is for you. So, and Scripture reports that many times that Jesus is out with the crowds doing his thing, but he also went away to rest and get new inspiration. In Matthew 11:28, he reports, or he gives us his greatest invitation. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Mark 6:31, it is written, he said, "Come away by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." Right, so those are examples of how the Sabbath is being recognized. So Jesus gave us the perfect formula for demonstrating abundant good in our lives. That is, pray, rest, work. Repeat. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you, sweetie. You came in right on point. But yeah, pray, work, rest. Pray, work, rest, all right? So that's the formula. And then when you In other words, when you want or need something specific to happen in your life relating to finances or employment or health challenges or, you know, relationship challenges or whatever, first become still, pray, asking for guidance, all right? And then whether you get a full-blown answer, which is rare, you know, rarely do we get the full-blown answer. We get a snippet of the answer. And anybody know why you get a snippet and not the full-blown? Because, yes, all you can handle. Exactly. Once you've done that snippet, then you evolve to a point where you'll understand the next step. But sometimes you get the whole picture. You're like, nah, let me get a smoothie and watch TV. And because you're like, it's too much. So that's why it comes in bits and pieces. So anyway, you'll get, you know, if you take that time to rest, you may get the full-blown answer, or you may get just an inkling of guidance. Without judgment of specific expectations, step forward on that little piece you just got. And I'm saying that from experience, all right? It really works all the time. You get a little bit of a glimpse of what to do, because, and what we do is, because it's not the whole picture, we just go, I don't know what that's going to do, right? And we just let it go, all right? But go with the peace that you get. And as you do that, you will get more and more guidance as you keep taking those steps. But thoughts like worry and fear and anger and disappointment and frustration, all of those are roadblocks that prevent the good of God from flowing into your life. And that's normally what will happen to us. You'll get that little peace, but fear will keep you from stepping out on it, all right? You get that peace, make that step. And when you make that step, you will get the next answer to what you're looking for. Now, more specifically, due to the fact that God is always being God. Let me say that again. God, say that with me, is always being God, all right? Blessing us with answers to our prayers. Those mental blocks that we just talked about prevent us from seeing that the good we have asked for in our prayers, in our mind, in our heart, are unfolding in our lives right now. Why? Because God is always being God. And the Father knows what you want even before you ask, all right? So that process is always happening. So we'll ask, because it didn't go poof right in front of us, right? We think nothing's going on. But you got to understand, that's the idea of quantum physics, right, Herb? The process is always happening. It's always responding to consciousness. So as you are thinking it, know in your heart that it is being done. Now, when working with spirit, it's important to remember that a lot of spiritual work is being done in the unseen realm to pull together the energy within yourself, the people, the resources, and all needed to bring your prayer into expression. So when you're thinking this, remember, you think you're thinking inside yourself, but you're also radiating that idea out into the universe. And those people, those resources, those things you need, they're being pulled together in concert by the universe, being readied for you when you are ready for them. Is everybody hearing that? Okay. So, you know, the idea of the Sabbath is learning how to take moments to let go of the doing nature of human consciousness and enter into the being nature of faith consciousness. Okay? And it's through faith that we come to realize that our Heavenly Father is always working to bring into expression the good that we desire. Always. All right? God never says no. It is we that say no. We will ask, and then the no is, well, I don't know if that will happen for me. I don't know if I'm worthy of that. I don't know if I can make that happen. That's the no. All right? So to illustrate the workings of the unseen nature of God, we're going to do an analogy between a farmer and the law of mind action. Okay, and you've heard me talk about soil and seed and things like that before, but we're going to look at a little bit different perspective. So the analogy between a farmer and the law of mind action, and there's a quick, let me do a quick recap because we talked about the law of mind action last week, but I'm going to do a recap. So I like this. Your mind creates in its own image and likeness. You guys remember that from last week? Your mind creates in its own image and likeness. Right? To give you an example, I just Pam and I just made a big purchase, and I went back to the salesperson and I said, Dave, you know, doing business with you was really a pleasure. I said, I didn't feel that I was dealing with a salesperson. I felt like I was dealing with a friend or a person. I said to him, a person who was coming from his spirit. And he looked at me with almost tears in his eyes, and he says, that's because I'm working to let Christ speak through me. Wow. You know? And so that was, you know, such a powerful thing. In other words, he was saying, if I don't let Christ think, you know, speak through me, then I'm going to come from my own image and likeness. You get it? So, you know, so our mind creates in its own image and likeness the idea of what you believe about yourself and your life and what you want and desire. The idea created from your mind creates thought in its image and likeness, which is in line with what you believe about yourself and your life and what you want and desire. You get where I'm going with that? All right? So the thought that came out of the idea created by your mind produces words in its image and likeness, and those words produce or manifest in accord with its image and likeness, all in compliance with what you believe about yourself and your life and what you want and you desire. All right? Now, all of this sets into motion a creative process to manifest or produce what your mind creates. So if you want something different from what you're experiencing, you got to shift your image and likeness. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you don't shift your image and likeness, you will keep producing the exact same thing over and over and over again. So if we take this creative process and for illustrative purposes align it with how a farmer works, we may get a better idea how to handle the creative process carefully and with greater discipline. All right? Now, first the farmer makes a choice about what he wants to grow in his fields. And like I said, if you've been to our house, our house, right? If you've been to our house, you will see that, you know, their farmers are all around us. Okay, they're, you know, doing their thing and planting the things that they want to see produce. So the farmer makes choices about what he wants to grow in his field. He does not haphazardly choose seed, but rather he meticulously decides on what he wants to grow according to his needs and what will grow according to the condition of the soil that he is working with. You following me? All right? Now, there's no difference in the way we should work in our mind with spirit. You have heard it said that your consciousness is your field of soil. Its condition is based on the nature of your thinking, what you believe about yourself, and what you believe is possible for you to achieve in your life. All right? So the nature of the possibility thinking in your consciousness is based on the ideas, beliefs, and opinions that you've collected in your life that give you the mindset of what you believe is possible to achieve. So, you know, you look at the people we see a lot in the news, the Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, and, you know, those folks like that. You know, what has happened with them is, and Warren Buffett, they've been working at this for years. You get what I'm saying? Developing the mindset for it. Jeff Bezos, if you look at his, you know, he had many failures before he got to the idea that actually worked. But they've been working for years to develop that mindset. So you have to kind of look back over your life and saying, what have I been developing? What kind of a mindset have I been developing over the years based on how I've been reacting to the experiences that I've had? Is that making sense? Okay. So your consciousness contains all the loving, joyful, happy, successful times in your life, but it also contains all the fear and anger and sorrow and unforgiving emotions that you are holding on to. All of these make up the nature of your consciousness, which in this scenario is your field of soil or arena in which your ideas are being nurtured. Okay, so we typically have a tendency to embrace ideas according to what we believe is possible for us to have or achieve. Like I always ask my students, do they know what how you say that car, Bugatti? Is that it? The $2 million car, is that a Bugatti? $2 million, I said, how many people would love to have a Bugatti? Because all their hands go up, you know? But then I ask them, do you have the consciousness for it? You get it? So there's a lot of things we say we want, but then we have to ask ourselves, do we have the consciousness for it? So the key to that, if you say, this is what I want, and you say, but I don't know if I have the consciousness for it right now, then you know, now what we're learning here is how to do the work to develop the consciousness to get the thing we want. All right? So the farmers in our neighborhood, they'll grow, soybean, for example, but they won't do anything with it but turn it back into the soil. What are they doing? They're nurturing that soil so that next year, if they want to grow something that takes more nurtured soil, that's what they're doing. See, you get me? So the same thing with yourself. If you're saying, this is what I want, but geez, I can't imagine myself having it, then you need to do the things to nurture the soil of consciousness to get yourself to the place where you can believe that you can have it. All right? And so, and again, this is practical. You have practical processes by going about this. So, you know, we oftentimes, you know, have ourselves, we got these conditions, these positions, these plights in life, this, you know, this is where I am right now, and I just can't figure out how to get out of it. But you can get out of it. We were sharing with somebody the other day, those times that Pamela and I had nothing, had lost everything and had nothing. But we developed the mindset, well, actually, when we had nothing, we still had everything, we had it up here. You get what I'm saying? And so we developed the plan of action, which we had to do step by step, which took years to get us to a point where we are now. That makes, but a lot of times what happens to us, if stuff happens to us, you know, big things happen, then we say, this is my plight in life. This is just the way it is. All right? And as soon as you say, this is the way it is, that's it. Okay? So we make conscious and unconscious choices about what we will plant in our consciousness, but it is interesting to note that even though we may not like the results or the harvest of our thoughts and beliefs, you will continue to plant and reap the same thing over and over again. I don't like what's going on in my life, but we keep planting the same thing that keeps that thing happening over and over again. Somewhere we got to stop and say, no. I'm not doing that anymore. I need to do the reading, the research, to get with people who can help me. Talked in the Prosperity Plus class about having mentors, you know, people who are doing those things that you want to do. Read their autobiographies, watch their stories, understand how they shifted consciousness to get to where they are. You'd be surprised how many saints, I don't want to name them, but how many saints that we know were alcoholics, womanizers, all kinds of things, and something caused them to stop and reevaluate their lives, and they moved on, and now these are the books that we're studying about how to become spiritual, because they transform their own consciousness, right? And so the key is, you know, why do we keep planning the same thing over and over again and getting the same results we don't want? It's because now, you know, we were ignorant of that time of the law of mind action, but now we know. We understand how the law of mind action works. Everybody here has got to understand how the law of mind action, because I talk about it every Sunday. You know, thoughts held in mind. Let me hear it again. Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, okay? So, and you probably notice that there are certain verses that I keep referring back to, and this one is Matthew 16:19. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Okay? So this verse is a perfect explanation or reason for the saying, let go and let God. Because if you bind yourself to this thinking process that this is the way my life has been, this is the way my life just is, if you bind yourself to that thinking, you bound yourself in heaven. Meaning the divine ideas that come to you cannot break through that process. Matter of fact, they can't even come to you anymore because you've bound heaven to say, don't give me any more of that because I can't deal with it. Is that making sense? Okay. So we are to let go of the thinking that keeps us bound in the experiences in our lives we do not want. And the way the farmer avoids getting results he does not want is first, he carefully chooses the seed. The next, the farmer prepares the ground before planting the seed. And when we are constantly working with spirit, we prepare the ground of our consciousness with prayer and meditation to activate our awareness of God as the only true source of supply. So how do we prepare our consciousness? Through prayer and meditation. Remember, prayer and meditation. Prayer is not saying to God, oh, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. Prayer is just getting still and trying to reconnect with the source of all that you're looking for. All right? And so this prayer time is the Sabbath. It is when we take an intermission from our incessant doing so that we can listen for divinely inspired seed ideas. And so the Sabbath is when? Anytime you need it. Okay? Anytime you feel yourself frustrated, upset, lost, disillusioned, whatever, take a moment to enter into the Sabbath. So this Sabbath process also has another function. It is to keep us continuously putting our faith, keep us from continuously putting our faith in people, places, and things as a source of our supply. All right? That's a hard one because, you know, we've been sort of conditioned to believe that, you know, we're getting our good from outside. Remember, outside, those outside things are merely sources or channels that the universe is using to pour that good through, all right? So, yes, we can put our trust in people, places, and things. For example, put your trust in doctors, hospitals, medicine, whatever. But our faith is always to be reserved for God only, all right? And that's, you get me? That's a slippery slope sometimes for the ego to grasp the difference between those concepts. Now, this is a definition of faith. I think it's from the Revealing Word. Faith is a perceiving power of your mind linked with the power to shape divine substance into whatever you want or need. Perceiving power of mind, right? So we perceive of these ideas of what we want in our lives, and through faith, we link up with this divine substance and we begin to shape that into what we have in our lives. Faith is spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is a magnetic power that draws to you your heart's desire from the invisible divine substance that God is. Faith is more than mere belief. It is the very substance of that which is believed. And it only works by love. All right? Thoughts of condemnation, hatred, anger, fear, resistance to change must be released because they are blocking the good you say you want. They must be released and replaced with your pure love for God. Then and only then will faith work in your life unhindered. Now, your love for God is your love for the divine substance in which you move and breathe and have your being. You get that? As opposed to your love for God. Okay? Because if you have your love for God like this, you're waiting for that anthropomorphic being to do this for you. And the Father has already done it by putting you in the substance by which you can use your consciousness to shape it in what you want. That's why God cannot stop being God. That's why God cannot hold anything back from you. All right, does that make sense? Okay. All right, so yes, we put our trust in it, but the key here is God is a source of all good. Your mental emotional medium is made richer by your constant acknowledgement that God is a provider of the abundant healing happiness that you seek. God is a provider. Again, not as something that's saying, yes, you can have this, because that yes, you can have this was said in the beginning of time, before you were. All right? So you can have anything you want, but you need to work with the consciousness to bring it into being. Now, we can go and listen to Tony Robbins. We can listen to Deepak Chopra. We can listen to Greg Braden. And they're all saying what? The exact same thing, okay? So the farmer knows that the complete plan for growing what he expects from the seed already exists in the seed itself. This is important. This is equivalent to you maintaining an inner knowing that whatever you want, whatever you need, whatever you desire is actually a divine seed with a divine plan within it to bring you what it is you want. So desire means what? From God. So when you said, this is what I want, this is what I need in my life, that idea has in it all that's necessary to bring it into fruition. So when you take a seed and you put it into the ground, that seed has the divine plan all in it to bring it to fruition. Now, we'll say that, we'll believe that about the seed, right? But you got to understand the idea in your mind, the thought in your mind of what you want in your life, that thought has in it everything to bring it into fruition. And just like you can't really, you look at the seed and go, you know, like the corn, they planted that corn and we saw it when it was just a little thing. Now you can't see past it. It must be about 6-7 feet high, you know. But when that farmers put that in, when that, I guess that was David, put that in, boom. And he didn't come back each day going, "Where? What's it doing?" Right? Because he knew that that everything that was in that seed he put in the ground was going to come to fruition. So desire is spirit at work within the seed, within the idea itself. Let me say that again. Desire is spirit at work within the seed, within the idea itself. And seeds and ideas all carry within them the divine potential, the divine plan to bring the desired results to full fruition. But whether the seed will grow or not depends on the next step, and that is for the farmer to water the seed and keep it free from weeds. Okay? Unfortunately, it's been raining a lot, so that's helped out with the farmers. But it's the same with each one of us. We must water the seed idea with our faith, that within this concept is the complete divine plan to bring it into unfoldment. So we are watering the seed with our faith. Right? Watering the seed with our faith. And we must prevent the seed idea, or protect the seed from the weeds of doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, jealousy, self-pity, all that stuff we go through. You have to protect it from that. And the seed idea must be protected from the ego's false belief that we can manifest without spirit. When the ego starts saying, "This is what I'm doing, this is how I did it, this is how I made it happen," that's what kills the whole process. We must protect the seed idea from the fears that are often characteristic of our ego. And we do this by using denials to eliminate all thoughts of fear, doubt, and worry. And using affirmations to fertilize our consciousness with our faith and our ability to overcome the appearance of things that might frighten us and keep us from attaining what it is we want. Okay? Basics of unity, denials and affirmations. Okay. How many people heard that Eric Butterworth thing about the lady who had a maid who was sick? Eric Butterworth told a story about the woman, her housekeeper was very sick, and the woman was going away, and the woman gave her this long. She said, "I want you to stand in front of the mirror every day, look in the mirror and say, I'm a healthy, whole, prosperous human being, endowed with all of the goodness of God." And she wanted to. So the woman said, "Okay, I got it." So the woman goes away. She comes back, and her housekeeper is doing well. She says, "Oh, you said the affirmations." "I didn't say that affirmation. It was too long. I just looked in the mirror and said, 'Oh, hell, I'm well.'" So the key to that was that even with those words she said, she fully believed it. She had full faith that it was going to work, right? And that's important for you to understand that you don't have to have this fancy unity language, you know, this airy-fairy language. You know, just say it the way you would say it, all right? But say it with faith and absolute belief that what you're saying is coming true for you. Now, the next step is important to illustrate the fourth commandment. After the farmer has finished his part, he rests in complete assurance that nature will do its part to bring him a rich, abundant harvest. Now, I'm going to give you 6 steps, and you might not be able to write them all down now, but you know, you can always go back to the video. So the first thing is, our work is to first choose the idea, the focus that is right for us according to our heart's desire. What is it that you really want in your life? Okay? And be real clear about it. Make sure it's what you want and not what it appears somebody else wants you to want. Okay, or you're trying to copy off of somebody else. It's got to be what you really want. Second thing is, prepare your consciousness with prayer of thanksgiving and acknowledging God as a source of your supply. Okay, so you prepare yourself by acknowledging God. Number 3, plant the seed that you receive from spirit into the soil of consciousness that has been properly prepared to receive it, and it's properly prepared through prayer and meditation. Okay? So once you say, this is what I want, I don't know if this happens to you, but you're doing something mindless, and all of a sudden it comes to you. Anybody have that happen to them? You know, it's like there's a communication I had to write, and I was thinking about the communication all week, and then I was working on my talk yesterday morning, and right in the middle of the talk, this whole communication came to me. So I stopped what I was doing to get to that, because when it comes, you better get it when it comes, right? And so I stopped, and it was an easy process, because my mind was now ready to receive the divine idea that I had asked for. And then when I finished that up, I could go right back to work on my talk. But that's how it works, you know? But when it comes, how many people have had it come to you and you got to go, oh yeah, I'll get to that. I'll get to that later, right? Yeah. Way back in the 60s when I was following Zig Ziglar and Earl Nightingale and all those folks, Brian Tracy, they would talk about sleeping with a notebook beside your bed. So when you woke up in the middle of the night with an idea, you write that down right now. Don't say to yourself, oh yeah, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to do that. Wake up in the morning, it's gone. The reason why these divine ideas come like water out of a faucet. If you want the water that's coming out right now, you better put your cup under there right now and catch it. Otherwise, it's gone. So all these things we're talking about, all the great masters, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, all of them talk about these ideas and have been doing it forever. You know, so it's that process. So and the next thing is you water it with faith in the absolute never-failing power of God is going to manifest this good in your life. So watering it with faith is, you know, you think about this idea, you know, and don't tell anybody. Unless it's your prayer partner, meaning somebody, a prayer partner is somebody you can talk to who listens to you and doesn't judge what you're saying. I think I told you that Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, I can't think of all of them. There are about six or seven of them that got together every weekend, Henry Ford. They got together every weekend and they talked about what it is they were working on and developing. And see, the thing is, they were developing things that didn't exist. But the reason why they could get together with each other because when somebody said, this is what I'm working on, the other, like, you know, Thomas Edison, I'm working on creating the electric light bulb. You know, the rest of them go, what? What the heck is that? All right? Because that would have shot down the process. It would say something like, I'm assuming I wasn't there. All right? Something like, you know, tell us more about it. So, in other words, they needed arenas of other great thinkers that they could share the seemingly impossible with and not be shot down. That's the kind of person or maybe people you want in your life, that do not judge these ideas that you're sharing. Okay? So you come up with the idea, you water it with faith because you're not clear yet as to how it's going to happen, but you have the faith that you're going to bring it into being, right? And then you take special care to weed out thoughts of worry, doubt, fear, self-pity, and thoughts of personal power separate from the one power and one presence. In other words, keep saying to yourself, I am myself, am not doing this. I am the instrument through which it is going to happen. I'm the willing instrument. I am willing for the Father, lead me, guide me, for me, shape me in your way. This, I was born to be the instrument to bring you into manifestation in my life and in the lives of others, all right? And then the last is then you rest. You remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You allow the idea to unfold in your mind. And again, you know, for me, the way that is the biggest times that I get these things unfolding for me was when I'm out doing that walk every morning. You know, I'm just walking and my mind is just, a lot of times I get to a place, anybody had this happen to you when you, if you do walking or running, or you get to a place and you don't remember, you don't remember the trip? You know, I've seen Rita out walking. Rita's a good walker, right? And you get to a point, you go, oh, did I pass by? All right, okay, all right. So that's when you really have kind of let your mind just really be open to spirit. And you do whatever it is for you, it's gardening or listen to music or dance, I don't know, whatever it is for you, where the process happens, all right? So you rest and you allow the idea to unfold and you keep alert. You stay alert, open to the possibility of change and the potential for greatness. And where you stay receptive, willing, full of thanksgiving, that the seed idea is growing into full fruition, even though you can't see anything happening. That's the key to the process. You know, and that's why you don't want to tell people sometimes until it really gets full in your mind. All right, where you can share it in a way that it might make sense. But other than that, keep it to yourself. Or the prayer partner. It's great to have a prayer partner, somebody you can talk to and just be, you know, let the process flow. So even though the farmer cannot see the seed sprouting, he knows with great faith that it's sprouting and growing. So it is with us. Even though we may not see anything happening in the outer dimension in terms of some activity that's an indicator that the idea or the desire is being answered, we must have faith knowing that the Father is working still. That's what Jesus said, right? I am working and my Father is working still. Okay? So the work that we do is what was given to us to do through our own mental processes. And sometimes it will come from others. Somebody might say, have you ever thought of? And you go, wow. No, I hadn't thought of that. Okay? So I'm going to end with this affirmation. It came from yesterday's Science of Mind. I celebrate the results I create, knowing they move me in the direction of my dreams. I celebrate the results I create. Say that with me. I celebrate the results I create, knowing they move me in the direction of my dream. Say that. Knowing they move me in the direction of my dream. Amen.